Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
It's April Madness. That's right. We're going to talk about April Fool's pranks and other things like Brandon's counting skills. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome. Hey, welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, AE, as we call it for short. I am Brandon. That is my friend, my longtime friend, pal, confidant, Travis. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on this episode,
Travis. Thank you for being a friend.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited, Travis. And here's why. I
just can't hide it.
I wasn't excited literally like 30 seconds ago, but now I'm super stoked because the great Phil Rude is in the chat. I mean, Greg, you're in the chat. I'm always excited to talk to you, Greg, but
obviously,
but Phil is here
gracing Phil, us with his presence on a Monday night of all.
Yeah. And you're a Florida man, not the Florida man, but you're a Florida man. And the fact that you're hanging out with us so late on in your evening, gosh, just
you're
a thrill.
Apathetic Enthusiasm. And this is NPR. Florida man on Monday night was found hanging out in a Twitch chat. Or two starry-eyed podcasts.
The most mediocre Florida man story. There's not even like a punchline to it. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. There's a few things we want to do at the start of the show, which we always do at the start of the show, and that is introduce our housekeeping, our social media presence, which I have none of that up. So I'll start by saying Twitter. I'll say Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah, we're on Twitter at Apathusiast. You, of course, are at Barnyard Cruise. Yeah. I am at Jogalmino.
That's right, of course.
We occasionally spend time on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. You can send us emails. Send us some questions. Brandon loves answering questions on the podcast. apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com.
I mean, I don't dislike answering questions on the podcast.
I know. Where's the lie? Where's the April fooling at? You tell me. we're on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm, where you can get a whole lot of reels right up in your face. So many reels going up on Instagram these days. And then also apatheticenthusiasm.com. That is our website. As we mentioned, we are streaming live right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. You can catch us most Monday nights around 9 p.m. Eastern time. And then a huge thank you to all of the patrons over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm.
For our audio listener, I'm just seeing what the delay is on the Twitch chat. But now I have to...
By shaking your head violently?
Yeah. But now I have to explain that to Travis while you are listening to this episode.
It was extremely distracting while I was trying to do social media.
That's not my fault. You know, you got to be a stalwart professional.
I should be a stalwart professional. And you're right. That's on me.
And just keep it
going.
If
you're starting a podcast, use AEPod for your promo code. I'm not going to tell you what website to use. Just use the code AEPod.
Definitely don't go to blueberry.com and use that code because are not there. We are not there. We are over on Red Circle. It doesn't matter where we are.
We changed colors.
Oh my God. I didn't even notice that, Travis. That's great. That's
for real?
Honestly, I didn't even put those two things together.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, blueberry. Red Circle, Blue Host. We are just stuck with these colored services.
So many colors. Yeah, it is true. It is true. Well, good news. We are already into the second quarter of what is sure to be a phenomenal 2023. Woo. That's right. The month of April is here. And as is the custom in the United States and also other places with lack of honesty and trustworthiness, we like to celebrate a little thing called April Fools. That's right. April 1st was this weekend, and we have made it a bit of a custom in this podcast history to play a little game on the podcast where we look back at some of the potential April Fool's pranks. But instead of just looking at them on their own, we play a little game where I will quiz Brandon, who is generally not super keyed into all of the April Fool's pranks.
And I avoid them generally. Yeah.
Internet blackout for the entire day. Never goes online. Doesn't watch any mainstream media. Yeah, he just won't do it.
I don't do it. I refuse to take part in the media fool's machine.
So I need to make one little note in my Google Doc here.
All right. So we have a shared Google Doc. That's how we do our show notes. I am not looking at the Google Doc. That's why I didn't do the social media stuff.
My personal Google Doc.
Oh, really?
I kept you right out.
Oh, man. I have a surprise for you later in the show after we're done with this April Fool's bit?
Yikes.
Do I have a surprise for you, you bitch?
No, sorry. I hope so. So as Brandon and I struggled to figure out what the heck we were going to talk about tonight, while I half paid attention to podcasting and half paid attention to college basketball, we remembered, hey, it is April Fool's. Let's play the game. So I went out and I pulled 8 April Fool's pranks. These are mass media April Fool's jokes. 4 of them are real in the sense that a company actually did this April Fool's prank. None of the ideas are actually real, but 4 of these things are things that companies actually did. 4 of them are completely made up by me within the span of about 15 minutes. So,
and let's go ahead and set the stage, the backdrop for what this competition is. We've done this every year. In some way, shape, or form, mostly, for the most part, right?
Mostly, yeah.
And Travis and I, in preparation for this episode, were like, what the hell do we have to talk about? We have zero to talk about.
Nothing.
I don't know. We haven't consumed any new media. We haven't consumed any new media together. We're not playing anything that we haven't already talked about on the show. AI, we like all these things. We're like, this is basically what we're doing. What the hell do we have to talk about? And so at the top of the hour, the quarter after the hour, like, oh, yeah, it was April Fool's. We haven't done an April Fool's special. Like, do your magic, Travis.
That's perfect. All right. Magic. So here we go. Without any further ado, the order of these questions were randomly decided by our podcast producer, ChatGPT. So... I am going to start with this first April Fool's prank. This was a tweet that was sent out on Saturday saying that the Twitter headquarters is going to be moving to the city of Miami in Florida. This is the tweet.
And moving
to Miami.
And my job is to say whether or not it's your April Fool's or if it was the real April Fool's.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it's fake. I'm gonna say this is yours.
Okay. You're wrong.
Damn. Wait. Here we go. There we go.
All right, cool. Yeah, so this was an actual April Fool's prank. This is from the mayor of Miami. He tweeted that they are thrilled to announce that they're hosting a press conference with Elon Musk and Twitter in the Magic City. It was an April Fool's joke. Twitter is not actually moving to Miami, but he had announced that they were moving and then had to retcon it. Twitter is not going anywhere. As many questionable decisions as Elon Musk has made in the past, they are in fact not moving to Miami. So,
okay, 0 for 1,
but that's okay. You still have a big chance here. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Moving on. This is from the Razer brand of computer accessories.
Okay.
And this is the Razer Razor. So this is an actual peripheral that you can use to shave with. The Razer Razor.
Razer Razor. I'm gonna go fake on that one. That's yours too.
Oh for two.
Damn,
Brandon.
I was like, he's gonna try to trick me and put two in a row.
Again, question order selected by our intern ChatGPT.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
But this was another actual April Fool's prank. Low hanging fruit, I think, right? But this was an April Fool's prank that they put out there. Feel sharp, play sharp. Things can get hairy when you're on a bad losing streak. Thankfully, we've got the solution that'll shave the day. Put on your best game face with the Razer Razor, the world's first shaving mouse powered by Razer Chroma RGB, designed for an ultra clean shave that brings out your A game. And then it goes on. They had like a video. They asked for beta testers. And then they like had some, it like basically looked like electric razor foils on the front of the mouse. So that was an actual campaign that they did. The Razer Razor. Not an actual device, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. All right. 0 for 2.
0 for 2. I feel like you're.
I'm going for a streak.
I feel like you're going to get one pretty soon.
Okay.
Next one. This was the Wells Fargo banking app to offer Pony Express option to have money delivered by horse.
It's a fake. It's yours.
Hard fake. That's correct. That's no. I don't even know that Wells Fargo still has a banking app. If we're being honest, I did no research in coming up with that.
Woo! I did it. I don't have a ding, 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 so that's why. Oh, that's all right. I do have this.
That's a good one. Okay. That's good.
All right, those are the two.
Fans are gonna love that on the podcast. All right, so. We've got one for three. Not doing too bad. I have to check what my next question is. Okay. All right. Next up is fish-free Tinder. This is where the Tinder app will auto-delete pictures of men holding a fish. So men that enjoy fishing, if their Tinder profile is them holding a fish, auto-delete.
I don't want that to be fake or an April Fool's thing. I want that to be real.
I want that to be real.
I think that's a real one.
That is correct. That is correct. This was put out on Tinder's Instagram. So Tinder's now a fish-free zone. And Tinder will immediately remove all fish pics from members' profiles.
Is that like also a dig at like Plenty of Fish? Like,
you know, like Fish in the Sea. I don't know.
You know, like, because that's a different like website. Plentyoffish.com is like, that's another hookup app.
It could be. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that for sure. You know.
I didn't really. In the 30 minutes that
Should
I came
look
up
it
with
up?
This bit,
we look
I, did,
up?
I didn't look it deeply into the intent behind all of these. I'm just here to do the work. All right. So you're
2 for 2.
You're 2 and 2. right? Damn. That's good. You're even right now.
Yeah.
So could go any way. Entering into the second half of this exciting April Madness. Next one up, ChatGPT revealed to be George Santos's actual campaign manager.
Here's my reasoning for my answer. I want to say it's fake, and here's why. Before you give me the answer, because ChatGPT is not that dumb. I want to give at least ChatGPT-4 some credit here and say that it's fake.
That is fake. That is one that I made up, and also one that I'm most proud of.
that's good.
Because I love the idea of George Santos trying to come up with his next rationale and just asking ChatGPT to come up with a backstory for him.
Like, no. This is my D&D campaign, ChatGPT. my campaign slogan stuff. That's a different context. Yeah. That's a different channel.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wait.
I got it right.
We got the air horn. Next up, Invisalign introduces glowing Blingvisalign with embedded rhinestones. so you can straighten your teeth and show off your style with Blingvisalign.
What's my score now? I'm like 3-2.
You're 3-2. You have 3 correct.
And there have been 3 truths, 2 truths. I'm gonna say it's true.
Yeah, that's no, I made that up.
Damn it.
that one is fake. For those listening at home, you may be realizing this is the part of the show where Brandon starts metagaming. Starts trying to figure out how many he's gotten right, how many he's gotten wrong, how many are true, how many are wrong. All right, so
we're going to talk about gaming here. Remember this, people in the chat. Remember, I want to talk about this metagaming piece after we're done with this game. All right,
okay. So you're tied, 3 correct, 3 wrong. You have two options left.
Okay.
So, next up, we have Crocs to become the official shoes of the XFL in 2024.
I thought I saw something for Crocs, but I don't remember if this was the context. So I'll say true. I'll say it was the real one. And if it's not, then I know the next one is true. So that works out.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, shit.
Fans of the podcast, a little behind the scenes. Originally, I was thinking about making this that the Green Bay Packers announced that they were going to have cheese tubs at Lambeau, where they would... they would be like hot tubs filled with melted cheese that fans could enjoy. And I thought that's way too far off. So I went with the Crocs and it fooled you. So worth that.
You know, that's a beauty for April Fools is they're all stupid.
So dumb. All right. Finally, our last one. This is an advertisement for Love Language, a streaming reality series coming to Peacock, sponsored by Duolingo.
Well, I'm gonna go with true.
It is true, obviously, because he meta games.
That was so loud. Sorry. Yeah, because I meta game. I knew it was true. Okay. So Love Language sponsored by Duolingo.
So this was actually really funny. They produced an entire advertisement for a competitive like a dating reality game like The Bachelor or something like that, or Love is Blind or the types of popular, you know, dating reality shows on streaming services. But the premise behind this is that it's like eight singles living in a house, but none of them speak the same language. So they all have to use Duolingo to learn other languages so that they can communicate with other people in the house. And there's a giant Duolingo like mascot that's running around the house, and like somebody gets pushed off a balcony at one point. It's great. You should look up the Love Language official trailer. Highly recommended.
Okay.
Because it's just funny. It was really, that's probably one of my favorite April Fool's pranks of 2023. So that concludes the April Madness game for 2023. Congratulations, Brandon.
Yeah.
50%, which is, you know, failing in the American education system. But, you know, we had fun. We learned some things.
That's right. That's right.
And that's really what matters.
The only April Fool's thing I actually paid attention to, actually noticed, because, yeah, like I tend to shy away or from paying attention to it. But the Joe Bob stuff, Darcy the mail girl, really, she's always like, Halloween 3, he needs to show Halloween 3, which is Season of the Witch. And it's like there's no Michael Myers whatsoever. It's like a side story with Tom Atkins with like masks and Halloween masks that are like on Halloween, they're going to kill all the kids. Anyways, so the April Fool's joke for there was, good news, everybody, we're going to show Halloween 3 on The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob. I mean, it wasn't great, you know, it was it, but we all really,
low
really,
effort.
Really
low
wanted
effort.
It, you know, we really wanted it.
I got.
Oh, I think, you got.
I think maybe twice on April Fool's. One of them turned out to kind of be true, and it was something about them completely killing the multiverses game and it being like coming offline, like the game is dead, RIP multiverses. And then I realized, oh, like, no, the game is coming offline, but because it was in beta and they're re-releasing it in 2024.
Yeah.
Or some point. But the tweet I saw, excuse me, was that the game was dead. Like they were done producing. I was like, and I even sent you a message. I was like, oh, RIP multiverses.
At least until 2024.
Yeah.
As I realized that I was wrong.
When you sent that to me, I didn't realize that you had read a different thing that was an April Fool's type thing because like I'd seen that news. I knew that was a thing. And there had been a dialogue about multiverses going away till 2024 because it was in beta, which seems really weird to me because it was in beta, but people spent a ton of money on it already. So it just like that. It seems like a weird, like, you spent a bunch of money. We're going away. Bye. Just kidding.
Hopefully we come back with angel investors.
And they'd already done a couple seasons of the game. So, you know, it just seemed kind of odd that they would do that. And so when you said RIP multiverses, I thought that was kind of a conversation about, you came out with this game, a lot of people liked it, and now you're taking it offline. And are people really going to want to come back to it in 2024? When you try to make its reappearance. But that's not what it was.
Okay. That's not what it was.
That's not what it was.
The other thing that got me was, and I'm trying to see if I can find it. I don't know if it was, it was a video. I think it might've been on Instagram or something like that, but it was, the guy that did the Obi-Wan Kenobi series fan supercut, where he took the entire series and cut it into one feature length movie, removing what he felt were some unnecessary scenes, things like that. He was sharing all these like news posts of fan supercut purchased by Disney. And there was like a picture of him with Dave Filoni. Hmm. And then like Disney potentially releasing fan supercut to Disney Plus in this. And anyway, so there were some really credible, at least at first glance, credible looking pages, which the guy is an editor and like he's got skill, right? So he just edited himself into these pictures with Filoni and I might have been I don't think it was Bob Iger, but it was somebody else from like Disney.
Favre?
It might have been, yeah. And then basically it was this announcement that they were going to release his version of Obi-Wan on Disney Plus. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is kind of awesome. And what a cool story for this guy that he like put together a fan trailer. Oh, that was it. That he got hired by Lucasfilm. Like that they liked it so much that they hired him and all this stuff. And I was just like, this is so cool. Like, this is awesome that they're doing this. Turned out to not be correct. It was April 1st.
It was April Fool's.
Gotcha. It was a gotcha.
Yeah.
I got.
You know what we should have done on RAM? It's been like we're officially sponsoring the Justice for Justin.
If it had aligned with our normal release schedule, that might have been something, but we don't release episodes on Sunday or Saturdays typically. So yeah, that might have been a little suspicious, but
we're announcing our, well, not Kickstarter, but our,
GoFundMe.
Yeah,
Justice for Justin. Yeah. I don't think I would want to have that out as a joke. For people to misinterpret.
I know. I agree. But no one listens to this podcast, so we are okay with saying that.
Right. Out loud. So go to
www.justiceforjustin.gofundme.org. Okay. Let me go back. We're changing the subject. Going back to the metagaming thing. So I want to have a real quick conversation about this metagaming thing, because we played. I went to the mall on Saturday after running 6 miles to my parents' house, which is
Look at you go.
Yeah.
Let me just pick up that humble brag that you just dropped on the floor.
Yeah. We can talk. You know, you've been talking a lot about running. You know, I got
4 more weeks, baby.
I gotta throw in some running talk there. But so I went with the kids to the mall, and then we went into one of those board game stores, and he had wanted. We have King of Tokyo. We have
a great game if you haven't played it.
We have the King of Tokyo expansion, but there's a King of Tokyo Dark Edition, and we've played it a couple times on Board Game Arena. Yep. Which, by the way, there's an April Fool's gag for Board Game Arena, but I'll get into that later. But what it is like it's all the board is dark. All the character designs are a little bit different. It adds some new functionality for the game. Like if you roll 3 ones, there's a like a cultist track where you can get extra bonus abilities. Anyway, he wanted that game for a long time. It looked great. He's like really likes the designs. Picked it up, brought it home. We started playing it, and so when you're playing King of Tokyo, there you're rolling. You're trying to attack the other monsters. You're trying to gain energy. You're trying to get hearts. You're trying to stay alive. You're trying to get victory points. And with the energy, you use that's your money, you're able to buy cards for abilities. And at any given time, there's 3 cards that are on display on the board. And you're like, you can buy the cards, and they're like 4 energy or 5 energy or 6 energy or 2 energy. Or you can refresh the deck for, you can pay 2 energy.
Swap them out.
Swap them out, right? So here's a strategy. Is if I have 4 energy and the card I really want is 5 energy, and I don't roll any more money and I can't buy that card, but I know for a fact that the person after me is going to buy that card, I am going to refresh the deck because it's
if I can't have it, no one will.
That's right. And so Chelsea has accused me of like you know, you're cutthroat playing the games. I'm like, that's strategy. That's how you're supposed to play it. I can't help that. I can't help that's what you're supposed to do.
I mean, I would argue that's maybe not necessarily meta gaming, but it is, especially when you're playing with kids or you're playing a casual family game.
He wasn't going to buy it. She was going to buy it.
When we bought, what's the tile game?
Azul.
That's right. Azul. I bought a physical copy of Azul after we played it a ton on Board Game Arena, and everybody in the family likes it, which is a little unfortunate because it only supports four players and we're a five person household. But you know, we play with different groups, and everybody's learning the rules as we're first playing the game, and obviously I've played it a little bit more because we play online. So I'm teaching people, but like there are periods where I am outscoring other family members by 10, 20, 30 points potentially.
Uh-huh.
And there are points like three or four playthroughs of the game where Sheena is suddenly like, oh, I see what you're not picking those tile, or oh, you're putting that tile by those ones, so you get more points when you place this one. And I'm like, yeah, I explained that. You didn't explain it enough for me. that's not how she says it, but like, it's just, I think you and I are willing to utilize higher end strategy in a board game, knowing full well that the people we're playing with in our family are not necessarily thinking to that level in the game.
Yes. I mean, that is true. Talking about Azul, and here's what happened. There's four of us playing, and it's getting towards the end of the round, and it's a pretty low scoring game right now. Like I have 10 points. The person next up, like first place, is 12 points. And I'm looking at the tiles and I'm like, okay, here's what's left. If I pick any of these, it might come back to me. I might get the ones I want, but I don't think it's going to work out for me long term. But if I select just this one and put it on an open spot, I know that someone is going to get stuck with eight tiles. Because I looked at everybody else's board. So my friend Clark, whose turn it is next, he has his row of five all filled up right now. He's got the row of four. It has two tiles in it currently. And the only move that he has left is to take eight yellow tiles. And let me see.
And this is a game you're currently playing right now?
Yeah, not actively. Like I just,
sure, but
us talking about it. And I knew that's what I was shooting for. I was shooting for somebody to get that massive amount of tiles to fuck them over and make their points go down. I knew it.
Cutthroat. Chelsea was right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Look, you strategy. And I are playing a game right now on Board Game Arena that I still don't understand even what the goal of the game is. Excited to see how the end game plays out for
that us. That goal is just to plant a bunch of plants, like your 16 by 16 grid of plants over the course of the game. And then once it's over, then you'll count all the victory points.
Planting the 4x4 grid, does that trigger the end game?
Yeah. Once all the plants are planted, then the game ends.
Good. Then we're almost done.
Yep.
one last thing. They're from Five Long Years in the chat asking about play Secret Hitler. I got good at that. Secret Hitler is a game in a genre of games that I am on the fence about in terms of games where you have to use deception and like social cues to try and identify someone who is not being trustworthy.
Sure.
This, I mean, there are so many games like this, right? We used to call it
Mafia.
Like Mafia growing up.
Werewolf. And then
Werewolf. What's it called on Jackbox? There's one called Faking It on Jackbox.
Oh, Faking It. We played that last night. Yeah.
Family loves it. Secret Hitler's another one. There's tons of these games. There's one called Chameleon. That's a really interesting mechanic because it's like a word clues type game, and you have to give a clue, not knowing what the actual prompt is. It's interesting, but I am cursed with insane amounts of integrity and honesty and humility. It's the burden that I bear. Frankly, I'm just bad at lying a lot of the time. I guess guilt, maybe that's another one. And if it's a group of relative strangers or people that I don't know that well, I can do okay. I can hold my own at times. If I play any of these games with my wife of 17 years, whom I have been with for two decades, nope, non-starter. The second I pull the trigger card saying that I am to be, you know, untruthful, she's looking at me like, it's you, isn't it? Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah. But she's really good at lying, which I don't know what that means. I don't know what that says about her. But
I don't know that she is.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is at times she can be, she, other times
the times we played those deception games with her, she's been pretty solid about it.
I will say there are times when she's really good at lying until the moment she's accused.
Oh,
the moment it's like, wait a minute, is it Sheena? And then she's like, you got me. I just couldn't.
We're playing Faking It last night, and It was this Jackbox game, Faking It, the different types of prompts, right? So you have your phone and it says, if you're the faker, it might say like, the game might be like, raise your hand if you did or if you didn't, or hold fingers up to like how many times you did something, or point at somebody who is the most likely to be something.
Yeah.
And so we played a couple rounds, and like when I'm the faker, like when I play those games, I'm just quiet all the time, because I'm like, the best strategy is to not react one way or the other.
Yeah.
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 And still I suck at those games because they just always think I'm the faker no matter what. But you know, so Chelsea is the faker. All right. In this one word, it's like you have to point at whoever is the person. And when you're the faker, it just says, just point at somebody.
Right? Yeah. Just make up a lie. Yeah.
And so the prompt was, who is most likely to be a politician? And the kid points at me. I point at me. And I look at Chelsea and she's on the couch and she just does this like very slow motion, like scanning the room, see who everyone else is pointing at, and then points at me. And I'm like, you're the faker. It's you. And then there was another prompt. And she was a faker again, like the second time around. And the same thing. She's like, I did it faster that time. Like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't. Yeah. I've played you. Secret Hitler. I think I've only played that game like once. But I've played all sorts of other games like that. I like them in the right group at the right time for the right amount of time. It's not like... if we're doing a game night or we're like really like game, like, yeah, maybe we throw something like that into the mix. But that typically doesn't tend to be the types of games that I gravitate towards.
Sure.
But, you know, they are fun. I do enjoy them. I like them more than, say, your Cards Against Humanity, apples to apples type games, which.
Those games, I do like those games, I think, more. The whole deception piece is it's a lot of acting, and like I don't like actively lying. I'm okay with hiding the truth and not being, you know, honest about the truth, but directly lying, bad at it. Can't do it. If you said to me, Brandon, do you like me as your friend? Like, am I your really close friend? I would have a hard time.
Am I your best friend?
I would have a hard time lying to you, Travis. But you know, if we were talking around it easily, I can, you know,
easily.
Make you think that you're my best friend forever. Anyways, so I don't like those games really. You know. Yeah.
Did you ever buy a physical copy of Wingspan?
I didn't. No, but at this game store, there's the Wingspan and there's the couple expansions. I'm interested in getting it. But the dark mode, King of Tokyo, was it?
That's there. There's another game that's Wingspan-esque. I think it's called like Evermore or something like that.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's like the badgers and shit.
Yeah. It looks equally as complicated, and the quality of the design just looks really, really nice. So I want to try that one. But
that was at Target.
I need to pull out Wingspan and play that again. It's been a few months.
Yeah. Well, so Travis, I mentioned that I have a surprise for you, and here it is. I'm gonna drop it. I'm gonna drop some surprise knowledge on you. Well, okay. here's the thing. I already led the background for today's episode. What we're gonna talk about which was the April Fool stuff and how that was last minute. Well, I talked to our consultant, our professional consultant, Matt Sizemore, about what the hell are we going to talk about today? This is before the April Fool stuff. And he's like, you can ask questions, do a survey. I'm like, we don't have time to get people to give us a survey. Just ask me a bunch of questions and then I'll ask them on a podcast. So here we are now. It is part two of this episode. This will be pretty quick. Matt Sizemore's questions to give us content.
I love it.
All right. So his first question, I said, zero F an idea what to talk about. He said, how about best online multiplayer game? In your opinion, Travis, what is the best online multiplayer game that you've played?
VR chat. No, I'm just kidding.
Deal.
I haven't played that. Online multiplayer game. Oh, man. I mean, that's a lot of options. Well, Am I the only one answering these? Or no, you have answers too?
I'll go ahead and answer to give you a little bit of
World
space.
Of Warcraft?
I mean, you didn't even play World of Warcraft, so you don't know.
I played it.
No, you
just
didn't.
Not as much as you.
You didn't play it, okay?
I maxed multiple characters.
Really?
Yeah. I occasionally tried raids, but the part for me where those types of games get boring is once you have maxed out a character. I enjoy leveling. I enjoy exploring the world. But then when it's like, hey, let's just grind this same raid 30 times and see if I can get an incrementally better piece of gear so that I'm a little bit better when I do this raid 30 more times. Yeah, I'm done. Thanks. Fun times, guys. I'm done.
That doesn't sound like multiplayer for you. You know, like that seems like a very solo efforted game. That doesn't really answer the question. It's multiplayer.
Call of Duty. We're gonna play some COD.
Oh, here it is.
Rocket League.
He put his finger up. Okay, I'll accept it.
Perfect center.
We played some Rocket League this weekend, and you're right. It is a very, very solid game. Solid multiplayer.
Love playing some Halo. I don't know. What about you?
You know, it depends. It depends on the person. Like I like multiplayer games. I do like some COD. I do. I like playing StarCraft cooperatively. I don't like playing against people. I like playing with people. But you know, like finding the people for that is not always easy. I do like League of Legends. I liked doing not Dota or like Underdark. What was that called? The auto chess games.
Yeah.
Those are fun. And even like I would love to play those games with you again. Those are fun. Civilization. I'm a fan of Civilization.
I knew you were gonna bring up Civ. I knew that you were going to. For me, StarCraft. I'm just not that good at RTSs, so there is a ceiling for me on those games where I just like. Okay, too much stuff's going on. Nope. This feels like work now. I'm done.
For sure. Like I multitask enough in my day-to-day life. I don't need to do it.
Yeah, I'm already running around putting out a bunch of fires. I don't need to do this for fun. Yeah.
All right. Next question. Do you want me to start listing them here? Is what he says next in the chat. I don't think that was a question for us, but
okay.
So I guess it was
in fact a question. And I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Okay. All right. I will agree with that. That was an easy question. That's why these are going so quick.
So easy.
Okay. So then he says, what's your go-to favorite multiplayer game? It was the same question. So let's go ahead and skip that one. What food are you most consistently happy with? That's an interesting question. I've never heard the question asked in that way before. No, normally it's like, what's your favorite food? What foods do you like the most? Which is a variation of what's your favorite food. But which food are you most consistently happy with?
It brings up a very interesting sort of dynamic because you can have you could say, I love pizza. But there are so many different types of pizza, styles of pizza, places that make pizza very differently to where you may go get a New York slice and then go get a deep dish and you're like, oh, I don't like this as much, or the toppings are different, or they use different sauce or cheese. So I think a food that I am most consistently happy with, the easy answer is ice cream, but that's also not really food. That's more of a treat.
It's food. You can count that if you want to count that. That's your answer.
You know what food came into my head, like, instantly. Initially, like right away, was a Philly cheesesteak.
Huh.
With the caveat that it doesn't have mushrooms on it.
Hmm.
So if their Philly cheesesteak offering comes with mushrooms, I'm not. But without the mushrooms, I'm in. I'm there. I'm in.
I feel like, so my initial answer was going to be Mexican food. And like just like a like an enchilada with ranchero sauce, right? Like with the red sauce, like consistently, even if it's like Tex-Mex or it's like some shitty restaurant somewhere, that's still going to be like that's good enough. Like I got myself an enchilada, but I have something that we will both agree on. I'm going to say it, and I think. I can sense that you're like, oh, actually, no, I know what he's gonna say. It's the smirk is brewing, like In-N-Out is just it's there. Like even
what a hamburger's all about.
Even when it's bad, you just like this was not the best In-N-Out burger I've had, but it was still In-N-Out burger, and it tasted exactly like I needed it to.
Yeah, I'll take bad In-N-Out on any day.
Yeah,
like.
Like I've never had
spoken like two Cali boys.
I've never had it to where I'm like this sucked. This burger sucked, and I will never come. The service sucked. The burger sucked. The fries sucked. Even when the fries are bad, I'm like,
the fries are bad. I'm not here to dishonest about that.
They were cooked too much. They were cooked too little, but they're still cooked.
they are cooked potatoes.
Yep. So yeah, that's my answer for that. Oh, Popeyes, sure. Over in the chat, always Popeyes. We do good by you.
Yeah, spicy. Got to go with the spicy.
I go with spicy
at Popeyes. I like their mashed potatoes.
Whatever. Greg and I would go to Popeyes. I would always get the chicken etouffee. You know, the rice and sausage and the chicken. And I don't see that served anymore. You know, I don't see it served anymore. COVID. Thanks. You know what else I don't see served anymore? Over at Kentucky Fried Chicken, the breaded hot wings, they discontinued them. And you know what sucks is I would buy like a 20 piece of those, not eat any, put them in the fridge, and then eat them cold. They were so delicious. I got the kid to like them. I got him hooked on them. As soon as I got him hooked on them, because it's a Cruise family staple. As soon as I got him hooked on them, they discontinued them. No more.
Are we talking like a traditional bone-in hot wing that is then breaded and fried?
Yeah, no sauce, just the spices.
Just tiny, like a does it come in a tiny bucket of tiny chicken?
No, it came in like a box, a rectangular box.
They would have sold it better if it was.
They're so
a
good.
Bucket, a tiny
so,
bucket.
So good for so long, for so many years. I craved them.
You heard it here, KFC. Bring back the breaded tiny chickens.
You destroyed my son's life, you bastards. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Well, let us know. Send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. What food is the most consistently good for you?
And I have one last question for you from Matt, which is, it wasn't pushed in the form of a question, but... It was best Disney movie. Go.
We have to break this down. I'm sorry. Are we talking strictly animated? Are we talking under the Disney production label?
Are we counting Miramax?
Are we talking like...
This is your shit, man. Like, you know, you make the decision. You, however you want to define what a best Disney movie is, that's up to you.
Jeez, best Disney movie, Pixar? I mean, like, I don't even feel like I should talk about them. Okay, best Disney movie. Tough. It's tough. This is like I was really tough.
I thought this was going to be an easy one for you.
No.
I thought you'd be like, well, I mean, obviously it's going to be Snow White and Seven Dwarfs because that kicked everything off.
I mean, it's the OG, obviously.
That kicked everything off, of course.
Completely created an entire genre.
It's the Citizen Kane of Disney movies.
It is the cornerstone of an entire industry. But no, like Lion King jumps out to me. It's just like so great. The art, the story, the music.
Yeah.
Like the comedy in it. Like there's, makes you laugh, makes you cry. I'm not recency biased, but like if you haven't watched Encanto, you better check yourself.
I have not.
Encanto, as a near 40-year-old man, I am willing to admit this on the internet. I can hardly get through that movie without crying. Like it's great.
It's that affecting to you, huh?
It is. And that, I don't know if that's a result of generational trauma. Who knows? which is the storyline from the movie. Who knows? But it's really good.
There you go.
And that Lin-Manuel Miranda soundtrack. Come on, let's go.
Boo.
Have you watched it? Have you watched Encanto?
No, I haven't. You bringing up Lin-Manuel Miranda makes me less likely to do it out of spite. But I know I need to.
It's good. Like objectively, it is good.
But I can't help but when it's late at night and I'm like, I just want to watch a movie before I go to sleep, that I go back to like the relaxing movies, like Donnie Darko or Dread with Carl Urban or RoboCop. You know, the movies that are going to help me go to sleep because they're calming. You know, they have good moral messages behind it, right? Like lullabies. They're lullabies, if you will. In the classic Shakespearean sense.
Sure.
Fight Club. I fell asleep to Fight Club the other night. I wanted to stay awake through it. But you know, everything is just a copy of a copy of a copy eventually. Which is a good book.
Single Serving Friends. Yeah.
That's a good book too, if you haven't read Fight Club. I might read it again, actually.
I think we've got Fight Club 2, the graphic novel nearby somewhere.
Probably not.
I think I read it.
Anyways, that's the last question I had for Matt, which was the Disney movie. I didn't answer what my favorite Disney, what the best Disney movie is.
What do you think?
Okay. Well, I mean,
Herbie Rides Again.
Don Knotts, the original Herbie the Love Bug,
the absent-minded professor.
did they produce Flubber? Did Disney produce Flubber?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Then definitely Flubber.
All right, fair enough. I'm like literally looking around my office trying to be like, what other Disney movies do I have stuff from?
I thought you were looking for Flubber. I thought you might have like some weird.
I do not.
Like, oh man, I grabbed this Flubber last time I went to Walt Disney World. Like they have Flubber merchandise.
I don't lie. It's right there. It was within arm's reach.
Oh, the Fight Club too. The graphic novel. If I'm gonna go Disney best, I guess I would just have to go with. I'll stick with Lion King just because it's easier. And it's just so easy.
Have you seen Moana?
Yeah, they're doing live action. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, you saw that. I almost made that an April Fool's thing. But then I ran the risk of you actually seeing it. So.
You're welcome.
What can I say?
Shiny. I hate that song. And that is the worst song. Oh God, I hate that song.
It's
It's Jermaine.
I know who it is.
Yeah.
I hate songs from people I love.
Fair. That makes a lot of sense, actually. That shiny song's not the shining moment of that movie, yeah, for sure.
If they did the Humans Are Dead in that movie, the binary solo 0000001.
They go to the aquatic underworld and find robots from the future.
The distant future. Hey, speaking of distant future, I want to talk about something real quick. Getting away from the questions, we've been talking about AI a lot, and so this is Brandon's AI minute. Let's see. Brandon's AI minute. Yeah, Brandon's AI minute. So going through a bunch of, you know, AI tools, whatever, I came upon one which was where, you know, you have Microsoft Sam, you have where it does the voice to text, right? Alexa or whatever. Well, there's one that can do like voice modeling. So I paid $5 just to kind of test this out to model my voice. And I figure, you know, normally I'm like, technology, I'm like, I'm hesitant about like putting myself out there, but I know that our voices are out there. Anybody can grab our audio whenever they want to.
Yeah.
If they wanted to grab our faces, it's out there. So I'm like, well, the damage is done. I'll do this, right? So what this tool is, I forget the name of it, but it'll take a minute of your audio. And so what I did was I just talking to myself, I was like, I just started rambling for a minute. Turned that into MP3, put it into this AI tool. It analyzed it. And what it does is you can type in a script, type in whatever words you want it to say, and then it will model a voice after what you sound like. And it's pretty good. I mean, I know my voice, so like you can tell it's not me in some senses,
sure,
but it sounds close enough to me that somebody would be fooled.
Can you provide it with additional sample data to try to help improve it, or is it
you can put like three to five different samples in there to give it that variation.
Yeah.
So what I was doing was I was just so amazed by this thing. So using ChatGPT, somebody would like give me like a random prompt. So Mitch, he was like a Bela Lugosi, like a Bela Lugosi rap. And so I went to ChatGPT, give me a rap about trying to be like Bela Lugosi. And then it popped something out super fast, right? Like 10 seconds, it popped something out. I copied and pasted that, put it directly into this voice AI. And within another 10 seconds, it gave me the MP3 of my voice doing a Bela Lugosi rap. And it's just like, it's so incredible. It's so amazing. It's scary, but also
a little bit. Yeah.
But also like, it goes back to our talk about it being a tool that people use and can use. And it won't like, it makes our lives easier. It makes our jobs easier if we're using it correctly, but AI will then need to be used, and AI has been used to sniff out AI, right?
Yeah. Have we talked about the story of someone trying to program ChatGPT to see how far it could get with like a certain problem set? And it got to a website where it needed to enter a CAPTCHA. And obviously CAPTCHAs are designed to keep robots out, right? They ask the question, are you a robot? Right. And so ChatGPT couldn't get through this. So it went ahead and hired a like short-term helper, right? There are people out there on the internet that you can pay them a small amount of money to do simple tasks, right? And so it hired this person to complete the CAPTCHA for it. And the person said, well, are you actually a robot like that's trying to get through this? And ChatGPT responded and said, no, I'm blind. I just can't see it and need help. So I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Back to this episode, right? And I came up with 8 questions for you for the April Fool's game. I numbered them 1 through 8. The first 4 were real. The last 4 were fake. Numbered them 1 through 8. And then I went out to Google and I Googled list of random numbers from 1 through 8. And I wanted it to do I've used Google as a random number generator before. You give it a span of numbers and it will give you a random number, right? Mm-hmm. But I wanted the full list. I wanted it to export the whole list to me. And it just gave me one number. And I was like, all right, let's try ChatGPT. So I go to ChatGPT and I say, the prompt I say, randomize a list of numbers 1 through 8. And it says, sure, here's an example code snippet in Python to randomly shuffle the numbers 1 through 8. And then it has a block where it has the Python code in the correct syntax for me to enter a random number generator into code. And so I had to then follow up, can you give me the random list? Because I didn't feel like making a Python app. I just wanted a list of numbers.
Yeah, just do it for me.
Sure, here's an example of random lists of numbers 1 through 8. And it gave me the question order that you were given tonight. So, but yeah, this, I mean,
it's pretty
this
good.
Kind of responsiveness and the fact that it can provide you these types of unique results so quickly, it's really impressive.
So I transferred over my Dracula rap so you can listen to it here on the episode. Remember this took no more than a minute from start to finish. The prompt, getting the prompt from the text, putting in ChatGPT, giving me the song, and then me putting it into the voice AI, it producing something, and me downloading it all under a minute. Here we go.
If I were Bela Lugosi, I'd be the king of horror, seducing all the ladies with my Transylvanian aura. I'd rise from my coffin with my cape and fangs, and leave all the mortals quivering in their pangs. I'd play Dracula with style and grace, and bring a new level of darkness to the place my eyes would hypnotize and my voice would mesmerize, leaving all the mortals paralyzed with surprise. But if I were Bela Lugosi, I'd also have a heart, a gentle soul beneath my macabre art. I'd show the world that there's more to me than meets the eye and leave a legacy that will never die.
What I love about this...
A minute. A fucking minute.
It's a rap, but there's no beat. There's no backing track. And because it's an AI reading it without any knowledge that it needs to like put a hip-hop rhythm to it, it just feels like a really macabre poem about Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, like, man. Yeah. Like if you gave me that script to read, I would not have read it with that rhythm. it's strange. It's very, very strange. So I sent that to everybody and Chelsea is like, I don't want to listen to a fake version of you. It's too creepy.
Yeah. It's weird because I noticed like it pausing to like take a breath.
Yeah.
Like there's like a breathiness at the end of some of the words.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. It's really weird. And I want to train it with way more audio of our voices. and then have the ChatGPT bonus episode where ChatGPT just writes an entire script of apathetic enthusiasm. We use the other app to produce it. And then we just release it.
Yeah.
Hashtag profit.
You want to hear another one? I don't think I sent this other one to you. Let's see. Here we go. This is another one. This one. So Sizemore, he was like, he was like, amazed. What the hell? What the hell's going on? You didn't record that one. Like, no, I didn't record it. Give me a prompt. He's like, okay, here's a prompt. Took it, ChatGPT'd it, and then put it through the voice AI. And here's what it came up with.
Good evening and welcome to the 10 o'clock news. In an unexpected turn of events, an antelope, a platypus, and Ellen DeGeneres have all reportedly fallen in love with each other, sparking a love triangle that has taken the world by storm. But that's not all. The three lovebirds have announced that they're packing up and moving to Antarctica to start a new life as farmers. What started as a simple love triangle, however, has quickly turned into a love octagon, with four more members joining the mix. It's a story that has captivated the world, and we'll have all the latest updates as this unlikely romance continues to unfold.
So that one doesn't sound as much like me. There's sure. it's a little higher pitched, but still, I'm like, it would fool my grandma if I sent that to her and I was like, hey, ChatGPT, write a script about how I got abducted and I'm in Mexico and I need $2,500 to get out of prison. It would do it and it would fool my grandma. And guess what? It has fooled my grandma.
Can you rewrite AI. It to increase the sympathy?
for this one, it only gives you two options. So the one thing about this is it doesn't give you any options for like how you want it to present the voice. It just says like there's two sliders. The one slider is variation or consistency, and the other one is I forget what the other one is exactly, but the whole idea is that like for the consistency part, it makes it more monotone, and where it's like this more so, it doesn't have a lot of variation to it. It just kind of goes like this. Whereas the more variation, it gets more chaotic. Like, hey, so here's a what I want you to know is that, but it doesn't say like make it happy, make it sad, make it more excited, make it more musical. Eventually, I'm sure there's a tool out there like that already, but that's gonna be next. That's what will be next. Like train a voice using these samples. Here's my happy voice. Here's my sad voice.
Right. Here's my sad voice.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. Whereas seeing was believing, whereas hearing, where a photo was worth a thousand words or whatever. Now everything's AI generated. It's all fake. You can't believe anything.
This episode.
Happy April Fools, everybody.
We actually did this through voice AI. We didn't tell you, but that's what it was.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.
0000001.
Please like and subscribe.
Hit the bell notification to figure out when we post new videos.
And write a review. Do all the things. Thank you for listening. This has been Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Those were all real things, though, that you wanted people to know. The episode's gone a little bit long, but it's important. Follow us on Apathusiast. Follow Travis over on Juggalmino. Follow me at Barnyard. He doesn't, but follow him anyways. Follow me at Barnyard Cruise. And go to Instagram, to Facebook, whatever. Send us an email. Let us know what you thought of the episode. Let us know if you have messed with AI. Let us know your Disney movies. Let us know if there's any April Fool's things that we missed. Let us know because we
let
love
us
to hear
from know. You. We are going to go spend a little bit of time watch the second half of this championship game over in the Twitch post show. If you want to see that post show, you can watch us live Monday nights over on Twitch. Or you can support us over at patreon.com/apathetic enthusiasm, where we are now posting video recordings of the post show over at Patreon. So big thanks to all the patrons. Thanks to you for listening. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you so much for being a part of our listenership. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app.
Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.